Hey, welcome back to the second live video episode of the Jabailey's Ja podcast. This week, I want to try something new and reached out to the DMVC, darn it, Devil May Care 3v3 crew with their entire production team. Last minute, they added Charbuck. They're like, hey, can we add another guy? And they want to add like six more people. I'm like, dude, then we might as well just have a stream chat and not even have a real conversation. But so on this week of the episode, I want to dive into the Killer Instinct community, most importantly with these guys that have been doing amazing things with the 3v3 and kind of keeping things alive before the rebirth. After Maximilian's amazing stream, the tournament Sajam is coming up with a new stream, which is awesome when we see our successful friends in the FGC use their numbers to help bring awareness. But I'm going to go in order. I'm going to let these guys do most of the talking. I'm just going to be asking questions. But let's start off with Devil. How are you, man?
Hey, I'm doing good, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Of course.
Tell
us. So introduce yourself. What exactly do you do with Killer Instinct? How long you've been playing? Who's your main?
Well, I've been playing Chaos since, like, I want to say 2014. I started taking it seriously in 2016. But what I've been doing for KI, as soon as 2017 and 2018, kind of like where the slow burn of KI, it was a little slow, I just decided to start making content. So before I made the 3v3, I was actually the host of the show called the DMC KI Kumite. And that was basically exhibition cards, kind of like MMA fights. You know, you had the lower and then the mid and then the top fight. After a year of doing that, I don't know, it kind of took a break from making stuff for KI and decided to make a 3v3 event. I kind of just threw it out there, though. I was like, I just want to make a tournament. And then threw it on Twitter and went to bed and woke up the next morning. And like the response was kind of overwhelming. I don't want to take up too much time, but I could tell you about it some other time if you want.
No, that's okay. Thanks. Charbuck, tell us about you. Actually, you know what? No, Charbuck's last. We're skipping him on this question.
All right, go ahead.
I am Keith. Welcome to the show.
What's up?
No,
you skipping me for real?
No.
No, I was like, oh, okay, I'm good.
I won't even say the word you guys want me to say. Charbuck, yeah, man, welcome to the show. Tell us about yourself.
What's going on, guys? I've been playing KI since it came out in 2013. I play Hisako in Killer Instinct. I competed in that game for a pretty long time, ever since I could get out. I think my first tournament was like Summer Jam 9. But nowadays, I don't play the game as often, and I was kind of there when Devil wanted to do the 3v3 event. I didn't do anything with the KI Kumite, but when he was like, I want to do a 3v3, I kind of just ended up being involved with that because, I mean, I do commentary for almost every KI tournament. I do it for, Revival. I do it for Sparrow's tournament as well. I've done commentary with pretty much everybody in the scene. So my thing with this tournament is that I oversee a lot of stuff when it comes to quality control, trying to brainstorm with Devil and stuff like that. I also do commentary for the event, and I do all the yelling and voice acting in the trailers as well.
Yep. That's the guy you guys hear in all the trailers.
How much do you auto-tune that?
I don't like to auto-tune it that much, really. They might just put an echo on it, but it's pretty much just my voice, natural dissonance. I got a good yelling voice.
There's no auto-tune.
That's a great voice to have as a TO, so... Keith, how about you, man? How are you?
Hi. I've been playing Killer Instinct since the game launched back in 2013, and it actually was the main reason I got an Xbox One. I was kind of influenced to play the game based on Max's videos and Matt and Wally from the Two Best Friends back in the day. Just try to game out and play it. And I was okay season one, but I didn't really do anything until season two when Riptor came out. I got really good with her and started actually going to FGC events because I was really good playing Riptor and KI. And then now with the DMC 3v3 crew, I volunteered my skills for graphic design, videos, and stream production for the DMC 3v3 tournaments that we do. Basically, all the trailers, all the graphics you see, we promote on social media and things in the stream. And even the video trailers, that's all my work and skill set using Adobe products that I've gotten from my own personal job and career in real life.
This is real life. Now there's a pandemic, so we're all at home, so that is real life. You know,
it's not my business, Haley.
Real quick anecdote before fire. People always used to ask me, like, how do you deal with online and like the bad things that get said about you, the good, all that stuff. Just how do you deal with it? Is it? And I used to tell myself it's not real life, but it now social media is real life. So that's definitely like a part of everything we do. You just got to learn to kind of live with it. The good, there's more good than bad. So that's how I survive. Fire, man. How about you, buddy?
Hey, what's up? What's up? I've been playing KI pretty much since Rifter came out. Actually, I didn't own an Xbox One until Master Chief Collection came out, so I didn't bother with Season 1. Rifter came out. I fell in love with the character immediately. I started competing, I want to say, 2015, somewhere midway Season 2, and then got really good towards the end of 2015 and really got started 2016, competed that whole year. Top 8 pretty much every tournament except for, like, 3. But outside of that, once we got to the 3v3, I think we were all just kind of in a chat together, and that's when Devil kind of brought it up to our attention. And me being an audio producer, like trying to work on my own music, I was just like, oh, let me do all the audio work for the group, you know. Using our skill sets as a group together, we were able to form this cohesive unit to kind of mesh together to where we can produce such a high-quality product, even though we're all doing this on our own time.
Right, and yeah. I mean, that's what drives a lot of these community events is us and just enjoying doing it. And then, you know, obviously, I actually worked with Killer Instinct. I was the community manager at Iron Galaxy for a couple years. KI, actually, in the early 90s, I was more, everyone knows me for my Street Fighter competition and competitive, you know, history. But Killer Instinct and Mortal Kombat, I actually played way more in the 90s, more than I played Street Fighter. And I used to go to Wet n Wild, which is a water park that's now shut down in Orlando. And they had Killer Instinct in the water park arcade. And that was the first time I ever discovered it. So I would go there during the summer times with all my friends and literally just sit at the arcade and play KI nonstop. And then competitively, never really got into it competitively. I did enter all the tournaments to support. But it was a good 2 years with you guys in the community and, you know, getting to show off. I'll never forget with Dave Lang, you know, the boss of Iron Galaxy. He flew me out with him to go to like GameSpot and a couple of the other companies in San Francisco when Maya was releasing. And I've never been under pressure to perform in a fighting game where they're like, okay, you have 2 minutes to come up with the best Maya ultra combo you can for our video. I was like, I don't even know. I got up to like 70 or 80 hits. I did the best I could, but under like a 5 minute window to put that together. But that was a really cool experience for me. So I'll always be in debt to Killer Instinct. I got to go to Germany Gamescom. I actually have the booth Xbox One sign from KI. And, you know, as a huge gamer, I'm always buying Xbox. I'm buying every console because I want to stay ahead of the curve. But, you know, if KI, we all know the obvious, we don't have to harp on this. If KI was on PlayStation or other systems, I think it would be bigger, even bigger. But for what Microsoft did to bring that game back and what Iron Galaxy is able to do, Double Helix, all those guys, was just amazing in its own right. And that we're still playing it because it is one of the kings of netcode. And Marco, shout outs to him from Iron Galaxy, one of the network engineers that made GGPO and work in a lot of these games and make it what's so special about it. So still living on, you know, Max obviously has a huge following, but still to have 40,000 people tune in and stuff. So that's really cool. So with you guys, right, the DMC running 3v3 stuff isn't easy, right? The early CEO days, like 2011, 2012, we used to do like 3v3 Street Fighter 4 tournaments, and they were almost a pain just to gather people, but they were always the most hype, especially in the finals and, you know, and having the matches and stuff. What's it like trying to coordinate and, like, you know, how'd you come up with the idea? Why 3v3? Why not 2v2 or, you know, crew battles? Is that in reference to, like, maybe you're a fan of Marvel or whatnot? And just how hard is it to bring people together and do that every time?
Well, I could tell you right now, it was supposed to be, like, we were kind of spitballing ideas. Like, how we make up events and ideas for events is kind of just us sitting in a group and literally just tossing things in a hat. But what initially wanted, like, gave me the idea to start a tag team tournament was the fact that, for one, no one really has done that in KI just yet. I like the format of, like, Pokemon, where you're fighting a gym leader, or like two people are fighting, like rivals are fighting each other, and you kind of throw them out and fight. I like the idea. So I know I wanted to have lives, and I know I wanted to have it a certain way. So, like, just the override, the tag team concept to me always appealed to me more. The difficulty, man, so you can ask, man, people don't see it, but they just see the event. But behind the scenes, we're literally, like, working all the time. Like, I'm talking to the very last second. We're like, before we hit start stream at the event, we're literally crunching shit and trying to figure out if this guy's here. Where is he at? We have to make sure 32 people are here at the same time. And sometimes they just can't be. Like, Frank could tell you best. Like, Frank, you know.
So, like, I think that there are two. The one pro of running our 3v3 event is that it is totally single limb. So I think one of the most aggravating things with online tournaments has always been running a loser's bracket. If you ask anybody why they don't like online tournaments, typically it's because of the loser's bracket. It's frustrating, and usually it makes you wait a long time, or the TO doesn't have like a clear idea of what matches they want to run on the stream. They don't know, like, you know, they don't know how to run it. They're holding everything up because they're afraid of not having anything on the stream. So the fact that we stream every match and it takes up the amount of time of a normal tournament, it's pretty awesome, and we have a bunch of different players being shown in that period of time. The difficult thing is the fact that it's hand picking everybody. So not only are you trying to get 32 adults, not including us, into the same place at one time, but you're also trying to, sometimes you have to do it twice, because, like, for example, like, we had a Devil had a hurricane, and that was like, he was flipping out about it. He was just straight up like, I'm upset. Like, I want this to go right. I want this to go well. And I'm like, you're just going to have to let go of the fact that there might be some people that just, they can't make it and they need to be replaced. We had to figure out how we were going to implement a player pool that was going to help us with that. We decided to go with a player pool that was going to give us excess players. Yeah. So that we could pick those players ahead of time. And then when something happens, it could be morning of somebody. And it has happened almost every event. I think morning of something, maybe an emergency or something. Hey, I actually can't play today. And we would just pull somebody like, hey, could you play? And they're like, yeah, just try to plug them in. So it's a really interesting format. I like that we don't have a loser's bracket, but there's a lot of struggles with it too. It could be really frustrating.
It's scary. Uncle Star will always be in the loser's bracket for me.
It's scary because I want to say this. It's scary that because, like, we don't want to disappoint the players that are in the teams. And if they have to lose a player that they've been training with, it's scary to, like, have to ask someone, like, hey, do you want to fill in? And then having them expect them to kind of, like, be cohesive with the players that they're joining in, like, on the spot, you know? But I think the best part about this event, and I think this is, like, for the top thing for me, is that whenever we force these players to kind of work together, it kind of forms like a unique bond between them. Like, because after the event, I noticed that every time, like, after the events, these team players and these captains, they hang out with each other still. Like, normally they wouldn't be hanging out with each other like that or gaming with each other, but afterwards they become friends, they still train together, and they still talk to each other. And it's just like, I just like the fact that the event kind of, like, forces people to kind of, like, get to know each other and become friends. You know what I mean? That's cool to me. It's one of my favorite things.
Well, in that case, Chris G, please respond to my DMs. Thank you. it was fine when I got code complete on my team. Like, wait, he doesn't follow me on Twitter? Which is, I don't care who's on my team. My rash is going to carry us to the top every time. And we only lose we only lose when people's controllers break. Shout out to Frostwolf God. You need a contingency plan to just give second place a sympathy prize for such situations. Tell me, what's the most rewarding part, obviously, is bringing everyone together. What is the one hardest part, and you can be very honest with us, of putting this on? Like, what's the biggest thing that you hate doing as a part of it? Like, that you, the least thing you want to do putting on these events online, besides people canceling?
I think this is for a good one for Keith, be honest, because, like, what Keith has to revise the trailers and the graphics like 18 times. And this is before players drop out, by the way, because, like, me and Frank are kind of hard on Keith. So, like, we give Keith, like, we kind of, like, crack the whip, you know, like,
they always find ways to make me do more work.
Yeah.
Always last minute, even morning of.
And we'll be so happy. Dude, we'll be so happy with the final product. And then, like, Jimmy will be like, I can't play. Now we gotta remake this entire thing.
Like, just like this past week when we decided to reschedule the event, we had delayed 2 weeks due to difficulty.
Snowstorm, dude.
Yeah. I had to redo we made a second trailer. They had to change out in players' names, and I have to redo the main event trailer we're going to play at the beginning of the stream, with new players in each team name during the event, because the players' names show up with the team logo, so everyone knows who's on what team via the trailer. And also there's graphics and stuff. I put in OBS with player name cards and stuff like that. That always get annoying. I usually have like a player list and like a word text document next to me, so I know who's on what team, so I know who is going to be what for the scoreboard during the stream. And when that stuff gets changed out, there was a point, in the second event where I put the wrong person's name that he was going to be in the event, but it wasn't for half a second. Like, oh, shoot, wrong person. Because
one thing you forgot to change.
Yeah. Exactly. Because one person no longer here because they couldn't play on the day of. It just happens.
Yeah, I guess the most challenging thing, just to summarize, is having everything finalized for sure. Like, written in stone, this is what it's going to look like, what it's going to appear like, sound like. And who's going to be there? That's like the hardest part.
But I think picking the player pool is really tough for me. Like, we go through a long process.
We revise. Yeah, we don't just pick like, oh, let's just throw him in there. We try to fit everyone in there. Our goal, it's hard to see. I'm gonna say it's not really a goal. It's a dream. Our dream is to have everyone participate in some way, shape, or form, no matter what skill level. But of course, that's easier said than done. You know what I mean?
And you can
tell.
We don't
want to get in there and get washed.
Yeah, and you can tell by the last two events, you've been trying to do like mid level kind of KI, which is a lot harder to like balance player pool wise than top players, which is easy to do.
Yeah, just pick this guy.
Top down is easy. Going to middle to bottom is hard to balance.
Middle bottom, even mid high is hard. Yeah, mid high is hard.
Well, for entertainment, you can always put me at the bottom because then I'll just beat everyone. And
I don't know, man. Dude, this is a true story. You've been leveling up, bro.
There's too many games. I play too many games. I'm not I don't dive into just one game, and I just enjoy what the community is enjoying and what I have fun with. But to go back to trailers and how important they are, like over the years, me mentally, every time I do CEO, it doesn't click that I'm doing another CEO until I put out that official launch trailer. And the moment I hit play and people see that and they go, that is hype, we're excited. I show the game list, my mind gets into that mindset of, hey, I'm about to do another CEO. And going back and forth, like correcting stuff, deciding what games I'm going to host, what to put in the trailer. I work with a guy in Gareth, nicknamed Drop. He's actually done almost every single launch trailer for me. And we would just go back and forth. There'd be a typo or a mistake, or I didn't give him enough. And so I know what the pain that is. And then, you know, one of the biggest, hardest things I had was when I got to announce Smash Ultimate was playable at CO 2018. And the graphic I used, we first submitted a graphic that got rejected because it had too many characters. Then they sent us the guidelines, which was Mario only. And it went back and forth like 20 times. However, because they liked me so much, they sped that approval process up just to get it out before registration closed, because we didn't get to agree to having it there and having their staff come out. But just, you know, when you guys get to do it, I can understand your pain. But at the high level, when you got to do it and get official approval for these trailers and stuff, it's a whole nother world of just craziness. And
I don't want to imagine that yet.
But once
that sounds like my day job with college athletics and band management.
Oh yeah, so then even more. So you know, it can get worse.
I know how it works with because it's not just athletic department; it's across campus and the development office. It's a pain.
Well, at least you get paid to do that and deal with that stress.
True.
So, so how many DMCs have you guys done so far, and what was your like favorite match? We'll take mine off the top. That way it makes it easier for other people.
No bias. Dang. Damn it. I got to think about it.
Yeah. What were your favorite matches
so far? I can go first.
Yeah.
All right. So we're currently doing season 4, which is coming up this Saturday, March 6th. So we've done run 3 so far. Now my favorite match, because of everybody assumed Hologram was going to win the first 3v3 free. The fact that his team lost in grand finals, because his captain decided to throw him out first, and he sunk his team. Like, that is the most hype set for me.
Hologram is not that kind of Pokemon, bro.
Yeah, when it was Dayton versus Skatefast was my favorite match. That last round was insane.
Oh, wow.
Who's that, Frank?
Go ahead, Frank, yeah.
I think, if I had to guess, I also liked upset matches too, but I think the craziest set I've ever seen in our tournament was Banelings and I think it was Banelings and D-Baby, wasn't it? The Riptor one?
Yep. Yes.
I was like screaming my head off at that match. It was so crazy.
Oh, yeah.
Banelings does like this really wild stuff with Agonos that you don't really see a lot of Agonos players do. So he's like, if I had to pick three players, he's definitely in that top three. My favorite to watch, because he just does stuff like he'll shoot the low rock and then he'll do natural disaster and like do this ambiguous cross up. And he just plays like such a nut with when other Agonos players play like really slow and methodical. I really like to watch Banelings. That match was hype, and there's a clip of it too. You guys definitely have to check that out if you haven't.
Yeah, I clipped that on Devil's channel. It should be under the maybe a playlist or something, but I definitely clipped that for everyone to look at. I post on Twitter.
And people use that in the trailer? We use that in the teaser trailer.
We use that in the teaser trailer for season 3 with the Kevin Owens theme one.
Yeah.
That was that one.
You go ahead next and I'll go last.
Yeah, sure. My favorite one was probably with Ligo, Skate Fast, and Dayton, or Wheels. That was probably the most like fun set to watch at skill level wise, because as someone who's been playing KI as long as I had, I can read both players' minds of what they were trying to do and how to kind of combat one another. It was so fun to watch, and our first two seasons were both top tier player tournaments compared to our most recent two, which kind of mid tier, and like those two events were so fun. But that was by far the best set we had so far, in my opinion.
I kind of have a mini tie. So one of my favorite moments is mainly the after of the match, when Itemaster won the tournament for his team, and like the emotions he had, like during the fight, you could tell he was not giving up because he's about to lose. And then he had a comeback and he just basically swept the whole floor with Itemaster. Cause remember, like, I think he was the last player and he had to beat everyone.
Yeah. Itemaster had to carry
He beat everyone, and then he won, and he started crying. And to me, that hit me really hard, because like the passion was there, and that was just a beautiful moment. You know, I love that. That's my favorite match and my favorite moment. Now, seriously, you're gonna think I'm joking by saying this, but I loved it when you, Jabali, like legitimately were whipping. You whipped like two players. You killed two players. You killed two players, and then one of them went on Twitter immediately, which is fun. And then he took a life off another player. That was hype.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm full of surprises sometimes. And that was literally my like day one rash after playing day one rash when he came out. So, and then finally learning and watching and Alex V and all them, and just seeing it's all about the short combos and stop doing heavy linkers and stuff like that. My problem with the game is I don't know how to break all the other combos because I don't know what to look for because I haven't studied each individual character. And I'll never forget when the game first came out how amazing our dojo mode was. It was only Jago at the time, but now being able to choose your opponents to break and all that. But it just comes down to practice. I think KI is one of the easier games to get into if you know how to pick up a character. Now, it's one of the hardest games to get into because you have to understand your opponents half the time. And this is one of those games where the longer sets you go with someone, the more you kind of get a feel for them. Me, though, I'm just always random. I'm either going to mash out a break right away or just I'm going to forget to mash it out until you least expect it. But either way.
My favorite part of your set you had was I went to rewatch Chris G's VOD. He was streaming your Discord chat. Hearing that Discord call on the rematch where that was going on, I was laughing my ass off. It was hilarious just hearing Chris laugh what was going on.
Yeah, he was dying.
I didn't see any of the stuff because this moment I get off a cool tournament, I got to get back to work and start planning stuff. But
yeah, Chris's battle was amazing for that set.
It was the most fun I had, and you know, a lot of people are always like, why don't have fighting games have more money? And a lot of us play them because we love them. Like, you look at a game like Brawlhalla. I just interviewed the head guy of Brawlhalla Esports. They have $1 million prize pool. But a lot of us don't. I think it's a great game, but it's different. And a lot of us don't want to get into it, even if there's millions of dollars involved, because we don't enjoy it. And if we don't enjoy a game, we're not going to play it. But KI is one of those games where you can kind of get back into it and enjoy it. And I always say a long-term success for games is obviously the net code. Like, just to be able to get onto KI and go through like killer and gold rank and still find matches almost instantly is what brings me back to coming back to that game. And, you know, I've been playing a lot of Street Fighter V this week because Ryu is freaking amazing now. And it's still just as easy to find matches, even though the net code's not as good, but it's gotten a lot better. But I think KI, and you notice it's all the American games that have rollback and that have the best internet. KI, Mortal Kombat got it after they used the KI team, somebody from there to help them rebuild it. You know, Dive Kick started out with Rollback, GGPOs from the Cannons and Evo.
Lethal League,
Star Strike Online.
What? Yeah, exactly. So all American based. I think it's just Japan and their directors. They don't understand it because they have incredible infrastructure we're never going to get because we're such a big country. So it's really tough. Now, you know, I've hosted KI live almost every single year. It's bigger at Combo Breaker. It's bigger at KI Cup, but we still bring in a lot of people and a lot of old school Florida heads come out to it. And I think the last time we hosted officially is when I got to announce it was coming to Steam. And I don't know if it was that clip I like showed you guys, like coming to Steam, but nobody played it on Steam anyway.
Yeah, I have that clip from the, I think from the last one we had the bumper breaks.
Yeah.
And missions. Yours was one of those things. You're like, it's coming to Steam, but you guys didn't play anyway, so whatever. Yeah,
but still, that was cool and stuff. But, you know, with you guys and just running this, like, how would you make it better? Is it always, at the end of the day, as a tournament organizer, just more budget, more prize pool? Like, if you were to get some big sponsorship, where would you put that into? And I know it would be more fun to spend it on something offline, but with online, do you think there's anything you need to make your events better, or you think they're already as good as they can be?
So I think we always try to push the bar every season by adding something to a flair or a theme song or better trailer qualities, bigger prize pots, you know, paying my artists and stuff, you know, like, I guess if I got a big sponsorship, it really honestly would go back into my team and just allowing us to create things. I don't want to say too much because there are things I want to strive for in season 5 and so on.
Yeah.
But let's just say I want to be able to pay for high quality things. Like, for example, like, I could just go ahead and say this, paying Omega Sparks and Alex V that came out of our pockets.
Yeah.
They're artists, they're musicians. They need to get paid. Right. And the sponsors and the people that have been generous to us, that went straight to them, you know, literally. And but it to me, it was worth it because the theme song was hype. It's a beautiful thing.
Now on Spotify.
I don't really make money off of these events, but I don't care because that's not what it's about to me, you know. And I'm sure my friends can agree with me. You know, I try my best to help make look out for them, especially Keith. You know, he works his ass off, you know. But Keith's definitely way more. Keith is my friend and he looks out for me, but he deserves more. You know, that's what I'm not trying to get too much into it, but like, I can only do so much, and I would love to have the opportunity to do more for everyone on my team, basically, and for the people watching the events. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
If we had more money, I would want to go back into making the event look better and have better production in some kind of way. The one thing I definitely take pride in this event is try to make it look as good as possible. I'm not trying to throw shade out here, but there's a lot of tournaments I've seen, not just KI, but FGC across the board, that like they try to do these events and try to make it look big, but then the graphics look like it deserves to be on like Twitch.tv bad layout Twitter account.
Yeah.
Like, I want it to look good. I think pride. No,
Keith's right.
Make it look good.
And the thing about Keith too is like he actually helps people and he offers to help people. Like since this is actually his actual career, he will like sit with people and teach them, you know, how to do things to make sure, because we want all KI events to do well and look great and sound great and feel great, you know.
I have a nice little like private artist list on like a Twitter list of artists that I'm like future people to commission later in my life.
Yeah.
There's people that I want to hire to make stuff for us to make us look better.
Pretty much.
I need an overhaul of my Twitch channel. I've been talking to Drew Face from Canada, and I just need to send him all the things I need. And I get caught up with DreamHack stuff or other stuff before I can do it. But I mean, that's one of the things I always have built CO to do is to be able to pay my staff more. And you know, because in the start it wasn't making money, and then. It was doing just fine to pay everybody that put in hard work, and then COVID. So hopefully people understand the first year back with live events, like we got to rebuild and restart. And, but the good news is a lot of sponsors are ready to jump right back in when things are good, you know, good to go and stuff like that, which I'm looking forward to. And you know, I'm still going to host KI, bring that back in some capacity to a live event. I think it's still got longevity in it. Honestly, I don't think we'll ever get the big sponsorships from Microsoft again. But it was cool that we had, you know, Combo Breaker and I had those $50,000 prize pools, or I think it was 25,000 or 30. It's been a little while.
It was 10.
Was it 10? But it was like 100 total or something.
I think 30 was for Evo and the World Cup finals, and the rest of like the like rest 40,000 was like split.
I remember 15 for CEO and Combo Breaker, but I mean, just a huge. And the thing is, that only helps the 2% of the top winners, but that's still helping people in general. You know, now obviously we want people to come and enjoy a game and have a good time. And with that, you know, in case somebody's listening to this podcast for the first time that hasn't gone to KI. You know, I can tell you it's probably $10 on a sale right now for the definitive edition, besides the Enfold guide, right? Which is one of the most incredible fighting game guides ever made. Where would you tell people to go first? Like, what Discord? Is there one for everybody? Like, where would you, what's the first thing you would tell somebody if they want to get into KI?
Well, to be honest, to get into KI, just go on a Twitter, on a Twitch, I mean, and look at all the players playing it, like Base, Nikki, Wheels, Calypso, Charbok, me, Keith. Literally, you can go into any KI stream, any of them, and ask a question, and you'll get an answer. And it's not a sarcastic, smirky one, like, you don't know that? Yeah. I've never seen anyone in KI turn down helping another player. It's a beautiful thing. Like, we'll even jump. We'll be in Discord hanging out, and Flylag will be like, hey, look, there's a new guy streaming KI. Let's see what he's doing. We jump in there. Yo, what's up? Hey, what's up, guys? He doesn't even know who we are. You know, because we're nobody to him. He's new. And we'll just go in there and tell him how to play the game and teach him how to play it. And then, like, 2 weeks later, he's learning from Nikki or Base, and then now he's in a tournament. Like, or, like, in something going on. You know, he's doing something with the game. You know, to me, that's the awesome thing. Like, I think the best way to pick up KI and learn it is just come into the community, be who you are, ask questions, and you will get the answers. I've never seen anyone turn down anyone before. And and usually when that happens... If we ever see someone bashing another player, it usually doesn't end well for the person bashing. That's pretty much it.
Only person I've ever seen not help someone out was Uncle Scar when one of my players was incredible. What about you? I mean, that pretty much answers it, unless any of you guys have something else to chime in on where to go.
I recommend probably the Killer Instinct Discord. There actually is an official Discord that's still very active on it. A lot of people in there.
Extremely active.
They're extremely active, yeah. Like today, it's like it's not dead at all. There's like new messages, like down. There's different chats for like for each character, specific questions and things like that. It's a good community in that Discord.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And one thing I did actually when I worked at Iron Galaxy, we started that Ultra KI the thread, and I had to deal with all the, you know, the feedback and relaying stuff and gathering. But I got to interview people. And one of my favorite guys, and you guys know, of course, is Wheels Man. What an inspiration that guy is to everybody on the whole. His play style, you know, how he's able to do it, how he pulls it off. That's really all I can say. I'm trying to turn it into a question. what do you think drives somebody like him? And like, do you think he is amazing at KI because he has the skills? But do you think KI is accessible to anybody to play that game? Or do you think he's just a cut above the rest?
So for that one, like, I know, like, Wheels really, really well, and like, I've talked to him about this stuff a lot. I hung out with him a lot at Combo Breaker. I also used to play KI with him all the time. And for Wheels personally, the thing that I know for a fact about him is that he is a huge sports fan. Like, everything. Yeah. He watches wrestling, too. I mean, like, I know he's a big football fan. He's a big basketball fan. He watches wrestling. Like, and he always said, like, if there was a chance for me to be able to, I would have liked to compete in sports. But because of his condition, like, he can't do that. And he felt that playing and competing is that to him. Because it's like, it is what he can do. And he's told me that. He's also said it on Twitter too. So I think that's what pushes him. And the other thing about him is I do think that KI is accessible, and I think that he's like living proof of it, especially because he's like waxing people. I think that the thing that makes KI accessible isn't necessarily the control scheme. It's actually that it's an extremely good pad game. Like, I don't think there's another fighting game that I've seen that uses the right analog stick for inputs. So, like, the right analog stick actually can be used to do light punch, light kick, medium punch, medium kick, and heavy. And not only is that throw, shadow counter, and instinct pop, but it's also light break, medium break, and heavy break. So that's something that that a player could use to their advantage. I don't think that he uses that. But the other thing is that it's more about the game's play style and the versatility and stuff like that. Like, there's a lot of different workarounds that he has. And I'll tell you one thing about him is that if you notice a pattern, and if there's one pattern in Wheel's character, if it seems like he plays just every character in the game, most of the characters that he uses doesn't have a good medium kick. I think the exception is Fulgore, because I think that's the hardest button for him to hit. He's told mm-hmm. me this like 100 times.
Yeah.
Orchid doesn't have a good medium kick. Wolf doesn't have a good medium kick. Gargos doesn't really have one. Those were the characters that he ran for like the majority, and now he's using Eagle and he's using Fulgore, but Fulgore's medium kick is really important. So I think like he does a lot of button remapping too. So like sometimes, you know, like you'll see him go back or you'll see him like pause or whatever. Like a lot of the time, like he could be changing his button layout too.
Per character.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And one thing too I want to add, the game's design overall, like just like the, I'm talking about audio and visual design. So like for the visually impaired, there's a guy named Blind Gamer, shout out to him. He's literally blind. And he turns off the game's music, turns up the hit effects and the meter sounds, and he literally plays the game as if he could see what's going on because of how well the audio is. And to me, that's a beautiful thing. Like, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, he could play. I was watching him play a match at like a Nikki stream, and I'm like, well, this guy's pretty good for soccer. Wow, he's just good anti-air, good this and that. Shadow Wrecka through the fireball. And he's like, Nikki's like, yeah, he's actually really blind. I'm like, what? And I'm like,
I remember.
He's in the 3v3 coming up, by the way.
Yeah, he is, yeah.
Well, I remember shutting him out.
I remember playing against him for the first time back at EVO 2016, and like, I jump with Vipdom, like, I'm probably going to hit him with a free heavy punch. I get into him. I pause. I give him and go, how the fuck did you know? how did you know?
He's awesome.
Like, I looked at him. He's like, I can tell by sometimes, but I'm like, but can you block cross? I was like, I got to guess. I'm like, okay, that's the issue. Maybe something to him a little bit. But he's very good. Like, he's very keen. It's very unique to watch him play with the audio design built around it. It's so cool to actually see him, like, win. Like,
like what Fire said, he's in the event. Like, that's just so, kind of shows, goes to show, like, we don't exclude anyone. Like, we didn't add him, like, oh, let's just add him, just, you know, make him feel good about himself. Yeah. We added him. We took it very seriously when we made that list.
Yeah, I expect him to do work. He better bond with somebody.
We added him because we knew he was ready for this event. This wasn't just a charity or some, like, bull crap, proper, you know, like, trying to get attention. This guy's good.
Well, I played him offline 2 weeks ago, actually, because he was actually in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I actually played him offline. He's really good. Nikki knows he's good, too. He's, you know, UU student. Yep. So
we added him because that's just it. You know, he fits.
I mean, but we don't care about who you are, what you are, you know, where you're from, all that stuff. We just love fighting games and playing, and we're always welcome to those who want to learn. You get people that come in like, I hate this, and they quit, and you're just like, I just ignore them at this point. But and it's cool because, again, KI's always been super helpful to each other. Now, back to the game itself, right? Let's kind of like theory craft, because we don't, you know, a lot of us, Iron Galaxy went balls to the wall with these characters, right? Just totally unique, you know, Keats on combat design and just making these characters so unique, and it has almost pretty much every character from KI history. If you could create your own kind of character, have you guys ever thought about that stuff? Like, what kind of character you would play into a fighting game?
Absolutely. Right,
perfect. Let's hear it. Devil, go first.
I've always wanted to have a character that, this is kind of sound weird, he could kind of like influence the map's terrain. Like, he could like, kind of like Agnos in a sense, like he could put up walls, but I meant more like, I don't know. You know how like in Smash Brothers,
like interactables, make, like, maybe.
Yeah, like add like a thing on the ground to make the character move slower if they're walking on it. Like, they have like actually slower walk speed, or they don't jump as high if they're on it, or something like that. I want a character who kind of like influences the terrain, like land on this like quicksand, and now you're being sucked into it. Like, you're being sucked into the center of the stage, or here's some muck, and now if you jump in this muck, you can't jump. You have to walk out of it. You can't backdash or forward dash. You can only walk out of it. That's it. You know, like that's the kind of character I've always wanted. Some kind of character who has like chemical like vials, and they make solutions and they throw them. Like, their gimmick is like they just mix stuff like a chemistry, and they throw it on the ground, and that affects the terrain.
So kind of like a Markman and Dive Kick, or a Faust and Guilty Gear in a way, but more more
chemistry. Environment. Yeah.
Got it. You, Charbuck.
I always wanted a gorilla, man.
He's about to cry. Gorilla, man.
I just want a gorilla, bro. It's not fair, man. But he's killing the game instead. Some people are like, it would be cool if they put like a cybernetic gorilla like Riptor is, and I'm like, sure. Yeah, whatever. Like I need my monkey, man. I need a gorilla. I need that. Like, I feel like KI, you know, they have Wolf, they have Riptor, they have a vampire, they have the Toad. Like, they have all those kind of characters in them. But I feel like KI also kind of reminds me of, like, Primal Rage. Yeah. And I like, Chaos and Blizzard in that game a lot. And I feel like that character fits that, like, 90s arcade aesthetic so well that it would be, like, Mira seems like a character that, even though she's new to this game, she seems like she always belonged. Like, she was seamless, and I feel like if you put a gorilla in the game, it would be seamless. But also, it's selfish. I just want it. I deserve it. It's for me.
King of the Monsters 3. Let's book it.
Yes, please do. I want a gorilla.
I'm surprised King Kong isn't in anything as a guest character. KI, I think, would do well with guest characters. Although every character is just, it's insane. Keith, I know you're chomping at the bit to say yours.
Mine is, I want a character that can do some kind of time manipulation or sit on a valid time, kind of like deal. whole gimmick is like he can like stop time to do something like kind of like Dio and JoJo, like in the Dio and the Capcom fighting game that was made years ago. Like his whole like his moveset is around like stop, rewind, stop, kind of like a gimmick like that, from a visual design aspect. I think will look cool. But Gears isn't what I want. He's close, but not it.
He has a rewind feature though.
He does. He has the kind of like some of his animations is kind of what I want, but I don't like the sand aspect of it. I don't like sands of time like that kind of gimmick. No, I don't want Duke can be like Dio and just goes to Wildo, walk forward and punch you. Like that.
Fire you besides a furry.
All right, look, hey, listen. All right, because I know I'm never gonna get another Bloody Roar game. Just give me Gato, Long or Shenlong, and just bring them to KI. And when they pop Instinct, that's their beast form. Easy peasy.
Yeah.
Actually, would be sick. Like a character could just transform.
Gato was the lion, right?
Yeah. Gato's the lion, and Long and Shenlong are the tiger. So either I don't care. Something like that.
That would be a cool instinct pop like that. Yeah, I like the idea.
What about most overpowered character? If you could remove one character from the game, me, it's Arya, hands down.
Arya, get her out of this game. Get her out.
The only character I would ever push delete button on is Idol. I don't like his design, I also don't like Idol. I don't like him. I just don't like how he looks. He's the one character in this game I think is a asterisk. He's the only character I think is an issue. I don't like his design. I'm not a big fan of him or his playstyle and stuff. I think it just doesn't fit. It's probably a unique opinion, but it's mine. I'm sorry.
That's cool. I'm actually running out of questions, guys.
I was going to say, I don't think anyone deserves to be deleted. I'll just punch him.
Yeah. Mine is Omen.
Omen?
My thing is, like, I don't even hate fighting that character. I think a lot of people, as soon as they start talking trash about Omen, they're just like, someone loses to Omen. I'm like, I literally don't lose to the character. I actually think my character has an amazing matchup against him. I just really have never been down with him. Like, since they showed the trailer, I was like, no. Like, I hate this. Like, I just never liked him, and I just don't like that character.
Yeah, his design's a little weird. Like,
he was the blight to me. Like, he was the character that I was like, I don't want this character in, like, at all.
I see that.
Did you guys ever play the single player stuff like Shadow Lord? It's Shadow Lords, right? Yeah, Shadow Lords and all that.
I played Shadow Lords when it was in the beta, beat the whole thing when it came out officially, didn't play at all. I'd be in the beta and like I asked like Ukari, is there any difference? She's like, no, I'm like, oh okay, I don't feel like I'm good then. I played it already.
Well, that means it's gonna work then, right?
Yeah. It worked. I did it.
I played the arcade in survival mode.
Success.
When the game came out, like for me, or rather when I first got it, like I played survival mode a lot, arcade modes and stuff. I thought those were fun. Shadow Lords, I played a little bit of it, got a certain distance, and I'm like, all right, well, cool. I'm not trying to read all that, but
I enjoyed season two. Season two of the
I'll see you later.
Season two was the best way that they did story wise. I think was like an actual like mini kind of like arcade mode with cut like kind of like cutscenes that
match cutscenes.
Yeah, that was nice. I like Hisako's the most out of all of those.
Very cool. It's tight.
And then guys, stick around because I actually have a trailer for them that I'm gonna show. I'm gonna show it after I stop the recording for the podcast. So the podcast is like, why is there 5 minutes of dead air trying to figure out something? So we'll save that. But you guys have a new trailer that you want me to show, which is awesome. And then I'm sure you guys will be posting it. With KI, you know, being exciting again and stuff. Are all of us going to pick up that arcade one-up KI machine just for the nostalgia?
Nah.
Because, you know, let's have a real talk, right? So
real talk. Yeah.
Mystic, Code Mystics, amazing porting team. They did the netcode for the old school games, right? When we brought them with, you know, I don't think many people bought the new Killer Instinct to get those freebies with the Ultimate Editions and stuff, but when you play those now, aren't they just a horrible game to play? They just don't feel fun at all. They still look good, but it's just horrible to play.
Its mechanics doesn't feel right, I guess, in modernized. It didn't age poorly, is the best way to, I think, to describe it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like special to me because the first time I got introduced to KI, I was like, my friend was playing it on actually like an emulator on his computer. And I was like, what is this? Like, it was a game I had like somehow just not played. And he was like, Killer Instinct. And I'm like, I don't even know what this is. And I sat down and I was like, is that a Velociraptor? And that was like it. I was like, this is a crazy game. And then I don't know. They just like that game's special to me and it has style and it has like, it reeks of that 90s cheese. Like it's very like 90s corny. Like there's lots of stuff in it. Like, I know that around the same time, they used that technology for Glacius that they used on T-1000. And that's why he has the T-1000 skin in his classic, like his Color 6. So I think that game just like reeks of that era. And I like that a lot about the game, but I don't want to like play it right now. The only thing about the arcade machine that I really like or that I would love to have it for is like just even just as a decoration. Like if I just saw that in a room, I feel like it would just make me feel happier. Like just to have that on display, it's so cool.
It's cool. It's coming with Battletoads. Like me, I'm an arcade collector, and just the design of it, they're just knocking out of the park. But it's incredible to see how huge the arcade market is. Like I'm actually going to do some more YouTube reviews on a bunch of pocket emulators that come with everything built in up to like N64. Just how much it's changed and just how much it's changed and how cheap they're getting. Like AliExpress, you guys know, you go on there for emulators, they have like 2,000 options now. It's insane. So the future of KI, right? I mean, I don't know anything in the industry. I'm not connected like I was when I worked in it, but I would love to see one come back. Obviously, I just feel like Xbox, the new one, I have one, right? Xbox Series X. There's no exclusive. Halo Infinite got pushed back. Game Pass is the most incredible thing ever, but it's all games that you can play anywhere else.
PC.
What do you think? What mechanic would you add to KI if they made another one? Is there anything it needs to add? Like, I know there was like air combo breakers.
I kind of want to say something about that. Like, a lot of people say, I want a new KI, hashtag bring back KI. And I think they get the wrong message from it. I think the message, maybe I'm just interpreting it my own way, but I think bring back KI doesn't necessarily mean just make a sequel.
Yep.
I think it means kind of like bring back support for the game, maybe as a patch or the attention it deserves. I think that this game, the one we have now, is still so underdeveloped and underexplored. There's so many things being found out every single day. If I play the game and I play a first of 20 or first of 10 against someone, I'm going to see like, well, I don't know you could do that. There's so many things, like with so many characters and so many situations that are still undiscovered and are being found and posted on Twitter, in the KI Discord, found on streams, that I feel like I'm going to be very happy with this game, regardless if a new one gets announced or not. I'm going to do my best to play this game still throughout the years. Now, as far as KI's future, if there's ever a new KI announced, I hope to God whoever makes the next KI just makes it the exact same way, a legacy fighter. Don't do the MK thing where you swap everything around or whatever.
I hate varieties.
I want it to be a legacy fighter, but I want it to be enhanced. So, like, for example, like level 4 Enders, make them have, instead of using reusing animations for level 4 Ender of, like, you know, manuals into like a Ender or a special move, make it a special unique. You know, put more money into the animations, make it look like its own unique level 4 Ender or level 5 Ender or whatever. Like, put money into making things look cooler. And also add more features to the game, such as online training, better lobbies, or Marvel MVCI style. Dude, MVCI type lobbies where you have your own individual little rooms in there would be hype to me. Yeah.
Power Rangers does a good job of that too.
Yeah. Now, as gameplay mechanic wise, I think the game is fine where it's at. I was thinking about this. I think about this all the time, actually. Like, I think if they were to add something, they could have it to where you could waste your instinct on popping instinct or using it as a ultra type move, you know, like Street Fighter 4 ultra type move. Like, maybe that would be cool. Kind of like how Shago has, when you pop his instinct, he has annihilation or the buff that he has, like his abilities. They can make every instinct that way. Like, you know, everyone gets their own unique thing that they could do, or they could have it to where they just use the instincts buffs. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. There's one feature, if they do ever add more features, is when you're in an online match and somebody's controller battery dies and then it just auto-pauses it, that would be a great feature to add.
second invincibility.
Bulls Deep is going to comment in 2 seconds with a, Jesus Christ, Jabali. But yeah, Critical Art, I was thinking like killer, not killer instinct, but like killer attack or something. They'd figure something out. But any of you guys have any other things you'd love to see if they do update it?
I think the most scariest thing is if they make a new one, like a sequel title, it gets in the hands of the wrong team that's doing it as a job and not a passion project. I think what made this KI so well was Double Helix's want to make it and the team to want it to be good. And this game is honestly a lightning in a bottle, and it scares me to think that this game getting a sequel is bad because it's just a job and not a passion project for a team, and it just kills the franchise kind of thing. Yeah. There's nothing I would change in the combat mechanics. I think the counterbreak and combo break system is perfectly fine. People have been recently kind of like complaining about them. I'm going to be honest. You want to stop getting guest broken or combo breaking consistently? Counter break more. I think counter breaking is the most underutilized tool in the game that people don't do as much. I want to see more counter breaks out of people. I've been trying to do it more in my own style, I think, but people are so scared to do it and get punished for doing so. I think that needs to be that. I think counter breaking is the most underutilized mechanic in the game. So I wouldn't change anything with the breaker system. I think the combo system is just fine. Like Devil said, more animations for like level 4 is what I want to as well. And maybe some kind of new utility tool with the instinct meter being some kind of buff that's character specific. Like for Riptor, for example, maybe I want long tail, or maybe I want a 1 or 2 frame tail flip. I pick one of those two in the character select menu. What kind of buff do I want in instinct? That kind of feature, kind of like how
Ultra 2, Ultra 1,
V-Trigger 1, V-Trigger 2, V-Scale, that kind of stuff, like multiple stuff like that, I think would be a good addition to do.
That's a good idea.
And I think what the best thing to do for a sequel would be just take this game's framework, maybe update the engine on it a little bit, but keep the same kind of like character rigs if possible, so you can save time with getting the game out, and so we don't lose a lot of the characters that are already in this version of Killer Instinct. And if I had to bring back one character for a sequel, besides Riptor, of course, it would be Hisako, first bet. Hisako deserves to be in every KI game moving forward, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm.
She is the most...
Her right here.
She is the best original character they came out of this whole 7 years of this game.
That's awesome. Fire, what about you?
I mean, the main thing I wanted to kind of touch base on was what Devil was saying. Like, this game is so underdeveloped, like as a commentary, especially with the 3v3, I see new stuff all the time. Like, people be doing some wild stuff. Even today in Nikki's stream, SVM did something with the Shinsaku. The yeah, so he killed on like the first frame, like the hands touched, so the hands didn't actually hit him. And then when the next round started, the hands hit Rom. It was some weird, crazy, hey, I don't know what happened.
What?
Yeah,
the
hand blocked ROM. It's weird.
Yeah, it was wild. Like, there's so much stuff. Like, I don't play as much as I used to, but as a commentator, as a fan, I love watching this game. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. I love seeing what people are doing. So I wouldn't necessarily want a new KI because I don't really trust development companies in general. There's no guarantee that the next one would be any good. Like, and then everybody would just go back to the first one and just kind of get mad. So what's the point?
The thing is, though, last couple weeks we've been getting a lot of good fighting game news, so there's going to be a rebirth this summer, I think. And you know, me personally, CO is not happening this year. I'm still working on the contract paperwork to postpone or whatever, but like next year when we're back, I think it's going to be tough, because like if you look at last year with CO, for example, Grand Blue is at the top of the heap, but Grand Blue's online is so bad nobody's playing it, and once Guilty Gear Strive is out, everyone's going to shift over to that from Blaze Blue and all those games. So all those games that were still doing well, it might struggle, but anything that had good online code, when you guys are capitalizing, bringing these new players, when there's offline, those people are like, you know what? I never went to an offline tournament before COVID, or as I like to call it, 2019 BC before COVID, but you know, 2022 AD after Donald is what I'm calling it. But you can steal that one. It's my favorite joke I've ever created in pandemic. But it's like a lot of people that didn't go to tournaments that are now just getting involved with online and seeing how good the online is, and they're able to learn. I think we're going to see a lot of new faces when offline is back from this new generation. Thanks to guys like you bringing more people together and getting these, you know, lower level players such as myself. I'm a low level player. Let's just call it what it is, because I don't put in the time. But could I be good? Yes, because you guys have been trying to train me so hard. I just get distracted by work and stuff. But it's just like crazy to see how much it's kind of developed online and more people playing. And I really hope a lot of those people that tune into like Max's stream picked up the game, or that are going to join Say Jams, because that's a lot of people that might just watch and enjoy spectating. But if one person picks it up, then that stream is a success. So with that, I want to thank you guys. I'll give you guys last chance to say something for the podcast itself, and then I'll hit the stop record, and then we'll show off that trailer. But any last words from you guys? Tell us about the Devil May Care this weekend. Who's winning?
Well, I don't know who's winning yet, but I do want to say one thing about tournaments for KI. I think it's important that we all like work together and try to influence each other and help each other get better and achieve better, you know, greater things with the game. Work together as a team. Frank touched on us every time we do our 3-3. So I just want to bring it up again. Like, I think it's important that there's a lot of people in other fighting game communities that like to get upset or jealous of people taking their ideas and trying things that they thought that they brought up or invented or somehow figured out that they're the first person to do a tag team. I embrace the ideas of new tournaments. And every time I see people coming up with ideas, or if I see someone kind of like hinting that they want to start something, I like to influence them and say like, hey, let's do it. I'll help you. Keith, come help this guy. Check this out. Venom, Charbuck, what do you think about this? If I like, I think you could do this. Like, we all like to, I think it's important that we all like stop being so selfish, and not just in KI, any fighting game. I think we should all support each event, each stream, and try to make them all the best that they can be, even if it just means adding 10 more viewers to that tournament, or adding $10 to the prize pot. Do what you can, you know, like, don't be petty. Try to like make the best of it, because for KI, we're on our own, you know what I'm saying? It's us against the world, you know.
You're a beautiful corporation anymore. You're a beautiful person. Ultra Tech is still around. And it's funny because every time I play with you guys, I see a new ultimate performed on me and turn. I'm like, when did they put this? Oh yeah, right after I left. I'm like, Jesus, like they added so much stuff I didn't know that existed. What about you, Charbuck, and them? And then we're gonna work together next Tuesday as well. We got the DreamHack. Sorry, geez.
Yeah.
DreamHack Community Clash. I'm kicking off a weekly Tuesday series for March and April. So 7 p.m. It's gonna be on the twitch.tv/DreamHackFighters channel. So I have to switch over to that because it's supported by DreamHack with a $250 prize pool. But yeah, we'll definitely be linking up on that. So the 3v3, I gotta start practicing with Code Complete or Complete Code or Campbell Soup, whatever his name is. What about you, Charbuck? Like, what else have you guys been up to?
Like, pretty much I just wanted to say, if anything, like, sort of like adding on to what Devil said, like, I have seen a lot of people in other communities sort of like turn on each other, and I don't think that there's anything wrong with being competitive. Like, I'm competitive like, I'm competitive enough to where, like, I'll get mad and play somebody right now, even if I'm not going to get on the game. Like, if you're like, you're trash, I'm like, what? You know, like, I want to get on and play right now. I'll be like, who does this guy think he is? But everything like that is within a game. I don't get competitive when it comes to, like, being a tournament organizer or anything like that. And I think that's something that a lot of people need to pay attention to, because I see it in other communities. Like, I see people who are friends with each other start turning on each other because they're like, that was my idea, or like, this was my, I was doing this, and then he came along and started doing it. And it's something like an exhibition or something. Like, that's not your idea, bro. Like, that was not, you didn't make that up. That was from another community. And like, if you want to take, like, get down to it, a lot of people took stuff from like sports or like other outside of competitive things. You know what I mean? Like, our ideas are like all the stuff that we do this, the stuff that makes us unique is the passion that we put into it and the style. Like, we have like a certain style to the way that we want to do stuff. That's what makes us special. It's not really like we're the first team tournament on the planet. Yeah,
format's not unique. I mean, a lot of people are doing Royal Rumbles now. And I mean, I stole that obviously from WWE, but ever since I was doing them, and Liger's been a part of them or been to them, like, a lot of people, I'll never forget. And I'm happy when I see that stuff because it's entertainment and people are happy. But I think it was in Pakistan, where the big Tekken community, and somebody just DMs like, dude, are you seeing this? Like, no, what? And I tune in, saw no promotion. It was a spot on Royal Rumble, just like CEO. And they did an Undertaker entrance where they blacked it out for the player and just straight up. And they're like, are you mad? I'm like, no, I think that's flattering. And supposedly one of them did shout out CEO for kind of like, harboring that and bringing that together. But like you said, like, I've been a part of the drama myself, you know,
right?
Speaking out on other events for me not liking what they did, and I've learned those lessons to just help people that are willing to. Some people don't want to be helped, they want to do their things their way, and you know, hopefully one day they'll improve upon that, whether they have to figure out themselves. But me, just understand how this community works. Like, we definitely have to help each other. And I think this, you know, after all the sad cancellations, not sad in a negative way, but like, just how crazy that was for our community last year, I think we're all going to bounce back a lot stronger. I just hope, from a community organizer standpoint, like, if COVID never goes away and we got to do more liability and event insurance and all that, it doesn't scare off the little guys from putting on events. Like, no matter what, I'm contracted to do CEO, but even if I wasn't, I'm not going to give up CEO, you know, after what we built and stuff like that. But it's cool that you guys are already planning, like, you know, a good organizer when they're already planning the next event before the next one's already over.
We do that too much, limits. Though, I feel like.
We do that
way too often to hinder our current events. We're like, we're in the middle of like this event, and like Devil and me, a lot of a fan would just be like, hey, what are you for this next event? I'm like, that's cool. Throw it in the bucket for later. We got to do this now.
Yeah. I know. Yeah. Well, you don't get a butt. Like, for me, example is like the first CEO, I had no production. It was literally thrown together in 3 weeks. And then the next year, I had a little money. I didn't have the ring yet. But once CEO made money, it was like, all right, now that I got this goal, I'm going to add a ring next year. And then I just like say, and then 1 year is like, I want Daigo at the event. I'm going to make that happen, you know? So you got to do baby steps. But yeah, dude, it's tough when your focus is on multiple events. And, you know, before I started working at DreamHack, thank God, they're the reason I survived the pandemic financially, is like, before that, when I did CEO once a year, the moment CEO was over, I was in a coma for a week. Now, you know, in the last couple years, and you understand, Keith, working in the sports industry, it's just nonstop. And it's now, like, once I started working DreamHack, as soon as CEO is over, I was already going to the next DreamHack event. And I was doing 8 events a year that were almost the same size as CEO, you know? And so it just kind of changed. You get used to it. You know, that's the one thing I tell people is, like, you're not going to learn everything in the first go. And the one thing I have hated over the years is when I'm running an event or I'm at another event and somebody comes in and goes, Mr. Jabali, you're a huge inspiration. I'm like, oh, so you've been to CEO? Like, no, I've never been. Then I just walk away as a joke. they're like, I love CEO. I'm like, oh, so you've been? Like, no. I'm like, come on, no. But the thing is, when people do come up to me, and I love it when they say stuff like that, but then like, so I want to run my first gaming event, and I want to make it huge with 20,000 people in the first go. Right away, I know they're not going to succeed because it just doesn't work like that. You know, you got to build it up. You know, you look at an event like Frosty Faustings, was based all on Guilty Gear, and they did the smart thing by adding in more games just to bring more people together, and it just kept growing and growing because it was organic. A lot of the Combo Breaker organic from UFGT, you know, all these events just are organic growth, and a lot of people come in from the esports side just trying to capitalize on FGC.
It's years, like, even like you said, Frosty, like, I remember when Frosty was just like 100 dudes in a ballroom, if even if that, like, it's, I'm shocked how big Frosty's got before COVID happened, like how big it was.
Yeah.
I was like, I remember there was just like one whole tier ballroom of like 300 people. I showed up and played like Street Fighter, and now it's huge. It's like five ballrooms in this hotel outside Chicago. I was so impressed.
It's crazy because if you look at the early days of the FGC, like the 2000s, it was all you thought about was the Texas community, the California community, and New York City. Now it's the Florida community is just as big, if not bigger, than most of the other ones, and the Midwest is the biggest, hands down. What Combo Breakers cultivated, and just they just have they know how to bring people out, and which makes it so great. And it just sucks we're all spread out, but I think hopefully travel, like the pricing comes down, or there's like a reset on hotel pricing and, you know, travel just to rebuild the economy and stuff. But it's just cool to see. But to end on that note, you know, Killer Instinct is near and dear to my heart forever. You guys just keep killing it, man. I'm excited to play in my second one. You know, I got grand finals last time. I got robbed of grand finals last time.
Jabili, what's your team name? Do you remember it?
Oh, yeah, Jamon Stars, of course. Exactly. So that's the goal for the next one. You need to animate us like the Space Jam Monstars.
If you win, I will boot up After Effects and do something.
Oh, beautiful. All right, then I'm gonna win just for that. I don't care about the money, just anything. Actually, no, that's a lot.
Well, you get the money.
Oh, well, yeah, dude, I was so excited because I was like, wait, a four-way split as dude, I need that money really bad. No, but yeah, guys, I want to thank you so much. You know, Devil May Care 4, follow him. He spreads the love and word of the rest of his guys on the team. You see everyone in this chat. If you haven't followed them already for KI, please do. This was another episode of the Japodcast. Thank you guys so much. We'll see you next time. Nobody leave.
Thanks for watching, guys.
Nobody leave yet.
All right. And